Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Back at the beginning of COVID, we talked all about the things that were happening. And then we had a spate of issues with people fraudulently obtaining PPP loans. That was the relief money that was put up by the government. If you ran a business, you could borrow the money, but the loan would be forgiven if you used it for payroll. And so that's what that was all about. Well, we had a whole ton of cases that hit the news. People ripping off the money, buying Lamborghinis, people who didn't have businesses, people claiming they owned like 12 businesses and stuff. And so interestingly, Keith and Ronald both sent me a story and said, Steve, the first person charged with trying to steal pandemic aid sentenced to prison after faking his suicide and going on the lam. Going on the lam, good old-fashioned term there. But this is apparently the first person who was charged with trying to steal pandemic aid. So we did a bunch of stories about this, but the first person who was actually charged with this faked his own suicide and went on the lam? But we'll unpack this. Lucas Alpert wrote this for MarketWatch.com. The man was tracked down by U.S. Marshals after being charged with trying to take $550,000 in relief money he wasn't eligible for. He was the first person nationally to be charged with trying to steal COVID relief funds. He then faked his own suicide and went on the run for months to avoid justice. He's now been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison. Prosecutors say the man is from Andover, Massachusetts. He filed four fraudulent applications in his brother's name for COVID-19 relief funds, claiming he operated three large restaurants and a cell phone business with dozens of employees. He had two previous convictions for fraud in New Hampshire, and he used his brother's name without his knowledge. So the prosecutor is saying he used his brother's name, but his brother was not involved. In total, the man applied for nearly $550,000 in government aid using phony tax returns created by a co-conspirator from Rhode Island. Prosecutors say the man not only didn't own restaurants, but none of the eateries had been in business for some time when the loan applications were submitted. The cell phone business also had no employees, according to court records. And I mentioned before that one of the problems I had with the whole PPP program was that they were lending money to people who didn't own businesses. The businesses didn't exist. They weren't even checking to see if the businesses existed. And they were in such a hurry to shovel the money out the door that they couldn't be bothered just to check if the business existed. And, you know, I had people say, but Steve, these people really need the money. And so the people who really need the money can't afford to have it delayed however long it takes to confirm a business exists. You need the money so badly you can't wait 5 minutes? Because some of these things could have been disproven in 5 minutes. It was that easy. So these businesses that the man was getting the loans for had been out of business at the moment that the loans were applied for. The loans were ultimately rejected after a person described in court papers as a concerned citizen alerted law enforcement to the fraud. Now, the men were arrested and charged in May of 2020 in the first such case for the theft of pandemic aid brought anywhere in the country. 3 weeks after his arrest, however, the man we're talking about removed his home monitoring device and fled after attempting to fake his own death. He attempted to fake his own death. Investigators say he left a bogus suicide note with his family members, including his 80-year-old mother, associates, and in his unlocked car along with his wallet. He then abandoned the vehicle alongside the ocean in Massachusetts. Search and rescue boats searched the water for his body, but to no avail. Many of his family members and associates were left with the belief that he had indeed killed himself, though the ones who knew him best informed law enforcement that they suspected this to be yet another scheme orchestrated by the defendant. This is what the prosecutors wrote in the sentencing memo. For several weeks, prosecutors say he traveled through several states using fake identities and changing his cell phone number 5 times. He was eventually caught by the marshals in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is a beautiful place, in July of 2020, and they found among his belongings numerous fake IDs, In May of this year, he pleaded guilty to conspiring to commit bank fraud and failing to appear in court. His co-conspirator also pleaded guilty to conspiring to commit bank fraud and is scheduled to be sentenced in November. In court papers, prosecutors say the man blamed his decision to try to steal the money on the fact that he was in a bad relationship that triggered trauma he had suffered earlier in life. They also say he argued that he fled only after his co-conspirator told him to cut off his monitoring device and head south. So his buddy told him to run, and he ran. And he was having trauma from a bad relationship, which caused him to try to steal $500,000. The sad part is that, and you're going to go into court, and you get an opportunity to speak. And once in a while, something is exactly what it seems. Someone stole money because they were greedy. Someone stole money because they had no morals. Someone stole money because it was an opportunity that presented itself, and they thought, I'm going to do this and get away with it. They did it because they thought they could get away with it. Well, these guys didn't get away with it, interestingly enough. But the point is they tried to do it because they thought they could. It's a cost-benefit analysis. Well, we can make $500,000, and this is all we got to do, the risk of getting caught. Let's try it. When they go into court, oh, I was suffering from trauma from a bad relationship. Really? Is that really what causes crime? You didn't just steal it because you just thought you could get away with it? So, you know, I don't know. I admit, I sit in court and I often hear these things happen while I'm waiting for my case to get called. And I'm always in the back of my mind going, really? The defendant simply seems incapable of taking full responsibility for his own choices in life. No one forced him to defraud the government in the midst of a national crisis. No one forced him to stage his own suicide and abscond. He committed these acts voluntarily and willfully, prosecutors wrote in arguing for a stiffer sentence. A message left with his lawyer was not immediately returned. Yeah, and so he's going off to jail for about 5 years, they say. His co-conspirator has not been sentenced yet. But the guy, like I said, you know, he's made history. He was the first person charged. And there were many people charged, and I did a whole bunch of stories. I remember guys buying, you know, 5 Lamborghinis with the money that they got to shore up their payroll for the company that they claimed they owned that didn't exist. And for every one of those that you heard about hitting the news, there were many more where people did get arrested, didn't make the news, and even more where no one got arrested, and it didn't make the news, and someone's going to get away with it. And I have spoken to people. And I heard stories from reliable people that I know of people who got this money. And did they have a business? Did they have payroll? Did they use the money for the appropriate purpose? No. But they got the money. And so it's one of those things. The program made sense. I understand why they had the program. And there were businesses that needed money to keep their payroll going, to, you know, keep things working. And I completely was on board with the program. But all I ever said was they need to put one simple step in there that's missing. And that is when someone applies for money and says, I've got a business that employs 300 people and I need to borrow all this money to keep my payroll going. Somebody should have just said, can I spend 5 minutes checking to make sure there really is a business that's got 300 employees? Can I do that? It's not that difficult. And I've actually had people say, Steve, how would you figure this out? Well, if you have a business with 300 employees that you're paying because they're on payroll, there would be records of payroll taxes being paid. And so if you are with the government to whom payroll taxes are paid, it'd be very, very simple to show whether a month ago, for instance, this company had 300 people on the payroll. This is not brain surgery. It's not. So it's unfortunate that this happened, but the opportunity made it so easy to steal the money that the scammers were all over it. And we've heard stories about this money that got shipped out of the country to other continents. The money's gone. They'll never get it back. And unfortunately, it's money that, you know, our government could have wasted elsewhere more efficiently. So from MarketWatch.com, Lucas Alpert wrote it. Ronald and Keith both sent it. The first person charged with trying to steal pandemic aid has been sentenced to prison, but only after faking his own suicide and going on the lam. 5 years, my friends. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Truth is ever to be found in simplicity, and not in the multiplicity and confusion of things.